Fighting the state of emergency drought in the state of California is supposed to be a team effort. We're all in this together is the message here.
Breaking up with your lawn can be hard to do, but when you're in a serious drought, the timing couldn't be better. Be California friendly. Replace thirsty grass with California friendly plants and save hundreds of gallons a week while boosting your curb appeal. You'll wonder why you waited so long.
But there are fines of $500 a day for residents not being team players and found wasting water illegally, watering plants or washing cars. But some California lawmakers leading the charge to regulate residential water use, according to the Center for Investigative Reporting, are actually big water wasters in their own backyards. Lance Williams is a senior reporter at the Center for Investigative Reporting. He says state citizens are once again getting soaked.
Many of them are profligate water users, John. They ignore the very regulations they're promoting. We found that of the top water agencies in the state, we found that 60% of the officials used more water in 2013 than they did in 2012. That's as the drought is worsening and as the encouragement to cut back is ratcheting up. And some of these guys use so much water, it's a little silly. We have them using as much as would supply 8 families. That's just to take care of their lush landscaping in their desert communities.
What kinds of things did you stumble on? What, you know, little fountains, little, you know, sprinkler systems? What sort of ridiculous landscaping did you find here?
I'm thinking of the Riverside City Councilman. He used 1 million gallons a year, 2 years in a row. He has an acre-plus property on a windswept hilltop 50 miles east of Los Angeles, and the landscaping looks like something you'd see in Bayou Country, a spreading willow tree, flowering shrubs, beautiful lush green grass. I mean, it's nice, but the natural setting down there, especially in August, September, in a dry year, it's like a desert, and that's what it wants to be, and only by putting way more water on it than you're supposed to be allowed does it exist.
So you're describing the lush and tranquil home setting of Riverside City Councilman Mike Subaru?
That's true. And he just doesn't know how he's going to use less water up there.
I live in an area where the wind kind of comes up and it dries out my yard very quickly. So do I just, you know, abandon my yard and devalue my property? I don't know.
So his answer to you was, what do you want me to do? Let all these plants die?
Yes. And of course, that is what ordinary Californians are being encouraged to do and prodded to do by the water agencies. You're supposed to rip out your yard or let it go to seed and put in drought-tolerant plants, something that can exist in a Mediterranean climate.
And any remorse here, any contrition on the part of officials who you had these discussions with?
Well, there's a councilman in Fresno out in the Central Valley who the first year he had a water meter, used 1 million gallons of water. Again, that's about enough for 8 families. He was contrite. His name is Oliver Baines, and he described a sort of a nightmare scenario with his sprinklers.
I apologize. You know, clearly I am not a model of water usage, and I'm sorry for that.
What was the context of that remark from Councilman Oliver Baines?
His sprinklers were going on in the middle of the night, and he wasn't aware that the sprinkler heads were broken and they were pumping, just flooding his backyard so much that he had a sinkhole, and yet he didn't really suspect that there was an issue or problem, and it went on for months and months and months until he finally got it straightened out. Fresno in the valley didn't have water meters till last year, and they boast of having the cheapest residential water rates in the state. And so for a guy with a new meter who's only paying like $150 even when he's flooding his yard, perhaps you wouldn't notice. But again, Fresno's another city that's leaning on ordinary ratepayers to cut back.
And the water in Fresno, where does it come from? It's not the rain.
It's a runoff from the Sierras, the great system of aquifers that supplies both agriculture and cities in the North State, and they also draw from wells.
And Fresno is upstream from virtually everybody else in the state as far as Sierra runoff is concerned, right? They get it first.
I guess that's right. The San Joaquin River runs right past their door.
And so it's a little hypocritical. I mean, it's more than a little hypocritical for him to say, oh, gosh, I just didn't notice that my sprinklers went on. in the night?
He probably had other issues. I think that's what we find with these water officials, that it doesn't necessarily seem to be topic A at their personal residence.
Part of this is the story of how a drought works. I mean, some people see it as absolutely urgent and other people don't see it as absolutely urgent. And it's hard for everyone to get on the same page. Without forgiving any of these officials that you talk to, how difficult is this drought in terms of getting everyone to be, together, a team effort on all this?
Well, since so many of the drought reduction efforts are voluntary, or the penalties are often waived by the agencies, it's more, cajoling people. And I suppose it's somewhat effective. If it doesn't rain, they're going to have to do something a little more serious, though. I think that an effective means would be to just ratchet the rates up for these guys so that it becomes prohibitive.
In environmental terms, is it the case that if these individuals, these profligate water users, were to actually conserve, it wouldn't affect the drought in any way? It's more a matter of just solidarity with the people.
Yeah, it's practicing what you preach. What credibility do you have telling some poor guy not to wash his car for 6 weeks when you're sprinkling every night so that the water's running down the street? I mean, it just it's hard to make the message stick that it's a serious problem when your personal behavior is like that.
How's the willow tree in your backyard, Lance?
Got a redwood tree. I got two oak trees, and I don't irrigate them. They just do what they can.
Lance Williams is a senior reporter focusing on money and politics at the Center for Investigative Reporting. Lance, thanks so much.
John, thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.